This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 32. Today, we will be discussing the article Hearts Sweetly Refreshed, Puritan Spiritual Practices Then and Now by Tom Schwanda, part 1. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hampel. Several years ago, I had the privilege of working at a local Christian college as an adjunct instructor. One of my fellow instructors, Tom, told me a story about an incident that happened in his days in the Navy. A friend of Tom's was visiting him on his ship. While walking down one of the corridors, the friend stopped to look around at one point and asked where the machine shop was on this ship. Tom noted that the ship did not have a machine shop. Tom's friend indicated that his ship, of the same class as Tom's, had a machine shop at the point he stopped to look around for one. They were able to obtain copies of the specifications for Tom's ship and found, to their surprise, that there was listed a machine shop where Tom's friend thought one should be. It was eventually discovered that when the ship on which Tom served was being built, there was a state-of-the-art machine shop put onto the ship. Turns out that the walls were built around it, but no one put a door into the wall. For a number of years, the resource of a machine shop was there on the ship, but no one knew it was present. There are a number of wonderful Christian resources which are available to us today. However, like the machine shop on Tom's ship, we don't use them because we often simply don't know that they are there. Among the little-known treasures of Christianity is the devotional literature of the Puritan movement. As church history progressed, there have been changing circumstances and emphases so that Christian writings, which were well known in one time and place, had become obscured and overlooked in another. This seems to have been the case with much of Puritan devotional literature. It seems to be the case that, to quote the article we will be looking at, due to historical amnesia, many contemporary Christians are unaware of the richness of their spiritual roots. However, through such means as academic study and the reprinting of old classics, many of these gems have been and are resurfacing in recent years. Today, we will be discussing the article, Hearts Sweetly Refreshed, Puritan Spiritual Practices Then and Now, by Tom Schwanda. This article first appeared in the Journal of Spiritual Formation and Soul Care in 2010. It is reprinted in its entirety on the Reformed Spirituality Network website. I'll be providing a link to it on the Restoring the Core website. This article is a great summary of Dr. Schwanda's PhD thesis. It centers on the writings and devotional practices of the 17th century English Puritan minister Isaac Ambrose. In the abstract for the article, we are told, "The Puritans of the 16th and 17th centuries have often been relegated to neglect or disdain. However, a more accurate understanding recognizes that Puritanism was in essence a devotional movement that sought to renew the spiritual life of individuals and the church. Therefore, it is not surprising that the Puritans have produced some of the most descriptive and extensive literature on spiritual formation, or to use their preferred term, piety." As we will see, many of these works are being recovered for a 21st century audience. Books such as The Heart of Christ by Thomas Goodwin or The Love of Christ by Richard Sibbes are back in print through Banner of Truth Publishers. The article works through a definition of what Puritan really means. Puritan, like the term Methodist, was actually originally used as an insult against those in England who sought to bring a fuller reform to the Church of England in the 1500s and 1600s. Unfortunately, the term over the years has come down to us with a lot of negative meaning. Today, the word puritanical carries a sense of one who's overly rigid, uptight, stern, and joyless. However, when you look at church history, you will find these to be a misrepresentation of who the Puritans really were. To drive home the idea that the Puritans were a no-fun sort of group, we are sometimes reminded at Christmas time that the Puritans did not celebrate Christmas. from the perspective of the early 21st century, such behavior is that of people who are overly strict and simply afraid to have some fun. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Due to the orgy-like way that so many in England were celebrating Christmas at the time, the Puritans wanted to distance themselves from behavior which we would consider to be inappropriate even by today's standards. If you think the Puritans were prudish, think again. Much of Puritan literature openly encouraged a husband and his friend wife to keep up the passion in their lives together. There's the record of one Puritan wife who, in the midst of a Sunday morning meeting, openly complained to the congregation that her husband was not having sex with her. That's not a typical prayer request you would find in a Sunday morning service nowadays. Clearly, the Puritans were not, by our definition today, puritanical. Let me provide a brief biography of Isaac Ambrose. Isaac Ambrose was born in 1604. He was educated at Brasenose College, Oxford. He served as a member of the King's Preachers, a group of four itinerant preachers commissioned with preaching Reformation doctrine in the heavily Roman Catholic populated area of Lancashire. He later served at two smaller congregations and then at St. John's Church in Preston from around the year 1640 to 1657. He later moved to the area of Garstang. Like the other nonconformist preachers at this time, he was removed from preaching by the Act of Uniformity in 1662. He died of apoplexy in Preston in January of 1664. He wrote several books, Prima, which is written about the first things of the Christian faith, as well as the books called Media and Ultima, written on the middle and last things of the faith. He also wrote the rather large devotional work, Looking Unto Jesus, which was considered a devotional classic for centuries. Concerning spiritual disciplines, Isaac Ambrose's writings point to a definition of spiritual disciplines as any practices that awaken, strengthen, or deepen a person's relationship with the triune God. At the time of Ambrose in the 17th century, what we refer to as a discipline would be referred to as a duty by the Puritans. They had a three-stage way of approaching these disciplines. Tom Schwande writes, "The Puritans typically approached spiritual disciplines by dividing them into three categories of secret, private, and public. Secret duties describe the individual's personal spiritual practices and reflect Jesus' command that we should withdraw to a place of privacy to practice our piety." That's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Private refers to a small group such as a family or friends gathered in your house, and public described the larger gatherings in the church building for worship or other spiritual exercises. In the article we are looking at today, the author confined himself to examining Isaac Ambrose and his approach to secret duties done unto God. Isaac Ambrose stressed in his writings what these duties were and were not. They don't save us. They are not a type of magic or leverage with God, in which if a certain set of prayers or reading or meditation is done a certain number of times, then God would be forced to answer the person and reply and give them what they're asking for. Rather, Ambrose writes, "The saints look upon duties, the word, sacraments, prayers, etc., as bridges to give them a passage to God, as boats carry them into the bosom of Christ, as means to bring them into more intimate communion with their Heavenly Father, and therefore are they so much taken with them. They are intended to give us a growing intimacy with God." Dr. Schwande further summarizes this in the following. Ambrose stresses that these duties are a source of delight and joy, because in duties they come to see the face of God in Christ. Hence, duties are called the face or presence of God. Further, practicing them brings a portion of heaven to that person. Hence, they who meet with God in duty usually find their hearts sweetly refreshed, as if heaven were in them. In other words, spiritual practices can both confirm the reality of God's presence to us, as well as provide a foretaste of heaven's joy, because we have been joined with Christ. Isaac Ambrose believed in a balance of head and heart when it came to these duties, or disciplines. It is something which needed to be remembered then and really needs to be remembered today. How often do we meet with Christians whose approach to their faith takes one extreme or the other? Some believers seem to treat the Bible and theological study as a collection of data which leaves them unmoved and untransformed. They might as well be collecting data on ice core drillings in Antarctica than to be increasing their biblical knowledge with no effect upon them. Then there are others whose lives are described by the biblical proverb, "Zeal without knowledge is not good," and that's found in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. They are very emotional and enthusiastic about Jesus, but shun learning more and more about him and the Christian faith. Ambrose believed that we should have our meditation on Christ and on the Bible to be in two phases. One, to begin in the understanding, and two, to end in the affections. He instructed his readers in the following way. Labor so to know Christ as to have a practical and experimental, which today would mean experiential, knowledge of Christ in his influences and not merely a notional one. Tom Schwanda comments on this by saying, it is not surprising that Ambrose asserts that the accumulation of knowledge, even that of biblical knowledge, is of limited value unless it is applied to one's life. Clearly, Ambrose believed that our study and reflection in the things of God should affect both our mind and heart. It should influence how we think and how we live. The theme of a believer's union with Christ was central to Ambrose's theology. In this, he was not unique. The concept of union with Christ is found in Scripture. The theology of what that union meant can be found in the writings of medieval theologians as well as those of the Puritans. Medieval theology held to what was called the triple way in our relationship to God. The steps were as follows. The first step was purgation, a purging of our sins and coming to God. The second was illumination, in which the Holy Spirit supplies a deeper understanding of what it means to live in relationship to God. The third step is union with God. The Reformers did not reject the theology of union with God. However, they believed that union with God was the first step in our relationship to God. Without it, there is no justification, which is our standing in right relationship with God by our trust in the completed work of Christ on the cross. This view is reflected by A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God. While the phrase union with Christ is not found explicitly in the text of the book, the concept is found clearly throughout his writing. A brief discussion of these ideas, especially how union with Christ comes first in the life of a believer, is also found in a contemporary work in Anne Voskamp's book, 1000 Gifts, in chapter 11. The Puritans understood union with Christ as spiritual marriage. Ambrose's theology tied in well to that of medieval theology. Bridal language, in which Christ is the groom and the church is the bride, was a hallmark of medieval and Puritan writings. The language of God being a husband to Israel is found throughout the Old Testament. The imagery of the church being the bride of Christ is particularly present in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. One particular book of the Bible, the Song of Songs, was thought by medieval and Puritan theologians to be an allegory of the love between Christ and his church. Isaac Ambrose makes extensive use of the Song of Songs in his writings on union with Christ and the topic of spiritual marriage. Isaac Ambrose believed that the practice of the secret duties, namely the spiritual disciplines practiced on the individual level, would be of great benefit in cultivating our union with Christ. His list has some of the recognized disciplines of today, such as reading and meditating on Scripture, various types of prayer, fasting, self-examination, and keeping a journal. There are also disciplines not well known today. Tom Schwanda writes, Ambrose practiced meditating on heaven that was often so closely connected with the contemplative gazing upon God, watchfulness, and the person's experience and evidence of God that would create a growing sense of assurance of the believer's relationship with Jesus. He also engaged in what he called the life of faith, that taught the importance of adhering to God's promises, regardless of what temptations or troubles a person might face, and the more unusual practice of the saints' suffering. In examining any person's writings, it is helpful to know what their times and circumstances were like. It should be expected that those times and circumstances would influence the author and shape, to some extent, his or her writings. In the case of Ambrose, three major periods of the English Civil War happened during his ministry. He lived near the location of the decisive Battle of Preston, which was fought in 1648. Considering this, as well as later opposition, which English nonconformist ministers such as Ambrose would suffer, particularly in their being ejected from the pulpit with the Act of Uniformity in 1662, one could see why Ambrose would consider the suffering of the saints to be a spiritual discipline. I will be providing a link to this article, as well as a link to the PhD thesis of Dr. Tom Schwanda, in which the points of this article are greatly expanded upon. Because there is so much in this article I would like to discuss, I'll be doing a second podcast on this topic. For now, I'd like to close with a quote from the article about how Isaac Ambrose approached spiritual disciplines. "Study, therefore, and study more, but be sure thy study and thy knowledge be rather practical than speculative. Do not merely beat thy brains to learn the history of Christ's death, but the efficacy, virtue, and merit of it. Know what thou knowest in reference to thyself." Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.